Welcome back to East Chapel Hill High School. Walter Storholtz alongside Jeff Hamlin and Hartford Zirkle bringing you tonight's action between the East Chapel Hill Wildcats and the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves. It is 21-6 at halftime. Wildcats with the lead over the Red Wolves. There is another important game happening over on the west side of Chapel Hill. Paul Connell is at that contest between Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Let's check in with Paul and see what's happening between the Tigers and the Jaguars. Paul? And we lost Paul for a moment there, but we'll get him back on the line and find out what's happening over at Chapel Hill High School. Also coming up on the halftime program here, we're going to bring you stats from the first half of action between the Wildcats and the Jaguars. We will also give you some scores from across the area. And let's take that opportunity to see what's happening on the stat sheet, Jeff. What's going on right? Well, let's pause that one more time, Jeff. We knew it would be quick. We got Paul back on the line. Let's get that update now from Chapel Hill High School between the Tigers and the Jaguars. Paul?
Thank you, Walter Storholt, here at Chapel Hill High School. In the first half, it was all Jaguars. In fact, it was all Trey Sharp. No secret there. 13 rushes, 120 yards, two touchdowns for the junior running back. And it puts the Jaguars up 15-0 at the half. Isaac Marsh, with obviously a tongue-lashing for his troops in front of the home crowd at halftime, they came out on fire, running the kickback to midfield, where just two plays later, Grant Nassell, who has been throwing darts all night, hit Noah Layton with a 35-yard strike. Layton rambles another 15 yards in for a touchdown to make it 15-7. And on the ensuing possession for the Tigers, Marlon Johnson drops a 30-yard touchdown pass in the end zone. Jonah Mendy's next pass, the third down effort that is tipped at the line of scrimmage and then intercepted by Hudson Price. The Jags were really, the Cats were on a roll. They got the ball back on their own 40, then had to punt it away. And just moments ago, Marlon Johnson goes 72 yards on the left side, first play from scrimmage, and puts the Jaguars up 21-7. 7:36 remaining to play here in the third quarter at Chapel Hill. The Jaguars trying to retain the momentum. Extra point by Chilberte is up and good, and the score is 22-7 with 7:36 remaining to play here at Chapel Hill. Walter?
All right. Thank you very much for the update, Paul. Greatly appreciated. As Chapel Hill struggling, trying to avoid going 0-3 right now, Jeff. And that's a fall from grace for the Tigers, who have had a good past couple of seasons and threatened to go deep into the playoffs in a couple of seasons. And, boy, now they're in a rebuilding phase. We talked about that when we were over there a few weeks ago. But it's tough for the folks on the west side to have to deal with that after experiencing that success with T.J. Johnson on the team, as well as all the other outstanding seniors they had a year ago.
It comes from a loss of skilled players, and it also comes from a lack of linemen. We covered their first game just a few weeks back when they wound up losing the season opener to Riverside, and they didn't have enough linemen to have a junior varsity game that week against the Pirates because they were so short up front, didn't have as many players come out for the team as they were expecting. Coach Isaac Marsh told me that he expects this team to develop very well as the year goes on, but he has a lot of players right now, like DeSell, that are just getting used to life in new roles, and that's what Chapel Hill's going to have to do right now. And let's face it, next week, the battle for the Hodgin Cup, since 2004, it has stayed at Chapel Hill. The Hodgin Cup hasn't been here at East Chapel Hill since the fall of 2003, when Rich Belton, who would go on to have a successful career with the Wake Forest Demon Deacons, wound up scoring a game-winning touchdown late here, and they beat Chapel Hill. And that was the last time East beat Chapel Hill, so now, could this be the year? You know, that's going to be the question. If East pulls this one out tonight and if Chapel Hill falls to 0-3, they'll be floating around this area all week long.
That'll be in 2 weeks that game takes place. Jeff getting excited for the contest already.
I'm pumped up already.
That game will be in 2 weeks. We will give you a preview of what's coming up next week. We'll have another doubleheader of action here for you on chapelboro.com and WCHL, and we will have the game on WCHL between Carrboro and Northwood as the Jaguars will be back on our airwaves, and Jeff and I will be over at Orange High School for Orange versus Graham, which will be a fun one to call. Graham team just south of Burlington, for those of you not familiar with where the Red Devils hail from. We will have stats and thoughts on the first half. When we return, you're listening to high school football on WCHL and Chapelboro.com. 21-6 the score. Wildcats on top of the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves. More coming up in just a moment.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. What does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, and PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim compares national carriers' average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim compares data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
Walter Storholt to my right. I'm Chip Hamlin. And also alongside is Hartford Zirkle. As we come back to action here tonight, as East Chapel Hill leads Cedar Ridge by a score of 21-6 here. I'm Jim Hamlin, and Hartford Zirkle was down the sidelines. Unfortunately, Hartford, we were unable to hear what the East coaching staff had to say, but what did the East coaches say going into the locker room?
Yeah, Coach, I talked to a very energized head coach John Sherman right before it happened. One thing he really preached was they're just going to keep on using their numbers and just keep on really trying to push it down Cedar Ridge with a running game. We'll see a lot of number 40, Colby Owens, really powering through Cedar Ridge players. One thing that I did notice when I was down the sideline is the Cedar Ridge players, their hands are on their hips. They are tired. And that is because partially due to a couple players not playing this game and just various other injuries. So we'll just look to see what happens there with the Red Wolves.
Right now, Cedar Ridge only has 28 players on the varsity roster. They actually had to call up three more from the JV tonight for the sake of depth. So clearly, this is a team that's outmanned right now.
Oh, absolutely. And you know those JV legs are pretty tired because just last night they were playing back over at Cedar Ridge in the JV game.
That's right. So they're essentially playing two games in some cases in 2 days. Hartford, great job, and we'll hear from you once again later on tonight. That's Hartford Zirkle. Let's go over the first half statistics. East Chapel Hill comes away with 265 yards total offense. Cedar Ridge wound up with 126 first downs. East Chapel Hill 14, Cedar Ridge had 5. And third down conversions, East Chapel Hill was 5 of 10, Cedar Ridge was 2 of 5. It's a fairly meaningless stat because East Chapel Hill wound up with overall more solid play at the line of scrimmage. Although East didn't have a ton of great rushers, in fact, their leading rusher, Chris Fowler, had only 23 yards, East Chapel Hill got it done through the air. Connor Stowe, 11 of 16 for 210 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. And Stowe rushed for a touchdown. That was East Chapel Hill's last score. The leading receiver in the game for the Wildcats, John Graham, 4 receptions for 56 yards. Jack Hankins, though, was tremendous. 3 receptions, 120 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That included a 77-yard strike that really broke this game open early in the second quarter. Colby Owens, 3 receptions for 28 yards. Justin Douglas caught a ball for 6 yards. Meanwhile, for Cedar Ridge, it was Chris McCoy who was the leading receiver. He had 1 for 48 in terms of yardage. Matt Murdy had 2 receptions for 31 yards. Jonathan Hall, 3 receptions for 19 yards. Elijah Richardson with a catch for 18 yards. Julius Walton caught a ball for 6 yards. Good numbers for Peyton Pappas in the grand scheme of things. He was 8 of 12 for 122 yards, no touchdowns, 1 interception. Julius Walton led Cedar Ridge in rushing, 6 carries, 16 yards. He scored a touchdown. Pappas, though, was sacked 3 times. He came away with negative 12 yards. And that's how Cedar Ridge comes away in the first half of action. So East Chapel Hill with a 21-6 lead against Cedar Ridge. East defeated Cedar Ridge last year for the first time ever by a score of 10-6. Now they're going for its second consecutive victory over the Red Wolves, and this would be the first time ever that East has defeated Cedar Ridge here at home. Walter, they could have had a victory back in 2007 on Labor Day night in a game that lives on in infamy for you and I because we were in this very spot, but it was not to be. Cedar Ridge won 3-0 in a game that was ugly for the ages.
It was. It was sloppy, ugly. Wet weather was just dominating, and it was just one of the most horrid games you'll ever watch in your entire life. Yet it was fun because it was a three-point game.
Yes. Cedar Ridge, to give you, I remember a few stats that still stick up in my mind here. Let's see. Cedar Ridge's game-winning drive was negative three yards. Recovered a fumble at the East 12, went backwards 3 yards, and kicked a 32-yard field goal, and that was the scoring for the game. Cedar Ridge won with 56 yards total offense. The longest play from scrimmage, quarterback named Tom St. Jim ran for a 16-yard gain for East. That was the longest play from scrimmage, 16 yards.
The entire game.
There was more penalty yardage for Cedar Ridge than total offense. They were penalized 80 yards and wound up with something like 56 yards total offense. That was, and if that wasn't worse, the game was delayed coming out of halftime because of rain. By the time that game was over, I felt like I was sitting beside John Matuszak and Woody Hayes in football hell or something. It was awful.
Your recall amazes me as always, and you're absolutely right, though, in the entire situation, as it was one of the games that you're kind of glad you were part of, but it was also one that you wish you hadn't had to sit through.
Well, the main thing about it was, for anyone who remembers that night, the legendary meltdown, which has lived on between you and I by then-East coach David Thompson, when he had the immortal line, "We keep shooting ourselves in the foot. There's my foot. I'm going to shoe it." That's
demonstratively pointing at his feet.
Yes. And that is the high school version of Jim Moore going playoffs, like what happened back in 2002.
We'll have to resurrect that clip and play it on a future broadcast.
Absolutely.
Maybe, just because it was so fun. Maybe the only time Jeff and I have lost our composure on the air due to the hilarity of it all. 12 minutes up on the clock. We're ready to resume play here in the third quarter. 21-6 is the score. Wildcats with the lead, but Cedar Ridge will have the ball to start the second half out. The ball is on the right hash mark on the 40-yard line. The kick is a low line drive to the near sideline. This one does not go out of bounds. It gets fumbled into the end zone and then picked up there by Chris McCoy. And so Cedar Ridge will not have a chance for a return. We really haven't seen their return game most of the night, Jeff. Most of the kickoffs have gone into the end zone for East Chapel Hill, either because they've been good kicks, they were fumbled into the end zone, and then one, they kicked off inside Cedar Ridge territory because of a penalty.
Absolutely. It's been a very good job throughout the night by East Chapel Hill's kicking team. Ellis Llewellyn has kicked some line drives, and that's prevented Cedar Ridge from getting anything strong. Very good kicking game for the Wildcats.
Five wideouts for Cedar Ridge to start the second half. Man in motion to the far side. He'll get the handoff. It's Walton looking to get up the middle. No room to maneuver there, as in on the stop for East Chapel Hill was Chris Alston, the 330-pounder, plugged up the hole, and maybe a gain of a half a yard on the play to the 20-yard line and the half mark for Cedar Ridge.
Tell you what, that's a big reason why East front line is so much better now than it has in years past. Meet up the middle.
Five wideouts again. Oh. Pappas fakes the throw, now steps forward, launches across the middle of the field. It's a low one, and it is caught across the 40-yard line with the catch on the play. Chris McCoy able to hold. Oh, now they'll come in, and one referee will be overruled by the other, and it's whistled incomplete, and it'll come back for 3rd and 10 now.
That's an important play because that's set up to be a first down at the 40. In Alston, I was just talking about him. He was double-teamed there, and he went through it like a hot knife through butter.
Looked good from here, but we are 150 feet away. Ref's only about 15 feet away, so they had the better eye. Make the call, and it'll be now 3rd and 10. Needing to get across the 30-yard line for the first down, or else Cedar Ridge is in danger of going 3 and out on their opening drive of the second half. Pappas throws out to the right sideline. It is caught. McCoy, once again, turns his feet across the 30-yard line. He does get the first down, but a flag is down in the backfield.
And Colby Owens drew a holding penalty. He was double-teamed, and he was about to get to Pappas. This is coming back, Walter.
It goes from bad to worse for Cedar Ridge as instead of having a first down, second time in this early drive that a first down has been wiped out.
And I'll tell you what, this is going to be costly because, again, in high school, holding penalty spot of the foul, and Colby was held, it looks like, at about the, oh, what was it, the 11-yard line?
12 yeah. Maybe, yeah. And that's where they'll mark it off from.
So it's going to be half the distance to the goal line.
On the 6, once they finish marking it off, as we saw last week up at Orange High School,
that's
that half the distance to the goal line penalty, and it's going to bring up third down, ball on the 6-yard line. So it'll be third and 24.
That's a great play by Colby, though, to get that penalty because he was the one who forced it. It's a big, big play.
Pappas throws it down the sideline, and it's caught. First down, no flags this time across the 35, and they convert on the third and 24. The catch made by Marquez Hunter, and Hunter, the sophomore, grabs the first down.
And Hunter came out of there like a bolt of lightning, did a fantastic job of beating it. Looked like double pursuit by Jeremy Hubbard to the far end of the field. First down.
Cedar Ridge with a quick start on first and 10 now as they've moved across the 30-yard line, and it's Pappas losing the football in the backfield. Ball is on the ground, scooped up by East Chapel Hill, churning his way down to the 15-yard line. On the play, East has the ball. They are in business. Another huge defensive play by this defensive line. And I believe picking the ball up on the play was Colby Owens.
Yep.
And he made his way down inside the 15-yard line for East Chapel Hill.
And this was a great drive by the East Chapel Hill defensive line right there. They were getting all sorts of pressure, and Pappas really felt it. They came out, the East Chapel Hill defensive line there, with a renewed sense of purpose and the return all the way down to the Cedar Ridge 15 and Cedar Ridge late getting players on the field.
They are. No whistles, though, as everybody gets on in time. The handoff will go to Chris Fowler. He goes up the middle, stays on his feet for a couple of yards. Good pickup on first down. As he gets close to the 10-yard line, they'll mark him at the 11.
So a huge, huge play. And so East Chapel Hill has to by Cedar Ridge in the game.
Unfortunate for Cedar Ridge as they will have to now settle in and somehow get a defensive stop here on second down and 5 yards to gain. Man in motion. It'll be handoff to Fowler. He's hit in the backfield and wrapped up immediately. No gain on the play.
So we've got another big situation here, and the East offense has to put this game away. Just as simple as that. You don't see many blowouts here at East Chapel Hill, but they have the opportunity for one right here.
We've got an injured player on the field, Jeff, and it's a Cedar Ridge Red Wolf. Official timeout.
We talked about what a solid drive that was, though, a moment ago by East Chapel Hill. And their defensive line, Chris Austin, did a spectacular job. And what a job by Colby Owens. And you have to remember, Colby is a young man who's playing both ways tonight, as he's been going as a wingback at times and more of a tight end look in this wide open zone offense, this read zone offense, zone read, I should say, offense. I'm going to spit it out in a minute here. But he did a great job of not only saving himself up on that pass rush, but also was fabulous in recovering that fumble.
So East Chapel Hill's offense, as you mentioned, important to try and put the game away here because it's 21-6. Still plenty of time for Cedar Ridge to make something happen. And the Red Wolves haven't had a problem moving the football tonight. It's just been an issue of, as you mentioned, those 4 turnovers and some costly penalties stopping their drives in their tracks. But it's only a 2-touchdown game here. But East Chapel Hill can make things much more difficult with a 3-touchdown lead if they can punch it in. 3rd and 8. Stout throws to his right, overthrows his receiver on the play, looking for Hankins once again, cutting from right to left along the goal line, but it was way over his head, and it's going to bring up 4th down. It looks like East Chapel Hill is going to try for the field goal.
This would be from 29 yards out, and Llewellyn will come on. Actually, they're going to mark the tee back further than that. It's going to be 31 yards.
So 4th down is now the situation for East Chapel Hill. Stow is going to be at the 21-yard line, as you mentioned, Jeff, for the 31-yard kick. He's made all the extra points tonight, all 3 of them. Here's the snap. We've got a whistle, though, and the Kick is up, and it would have been good, but we've got a false start called, and East is going to have to decide to have Llewellyn kick this again a little bit further back after stepping back 5 yards, or will they now decide to punt or go for it?
It's going to be an interesting decision. But
that ball just barely cleared the the uprights.
And it appeared to go wide to the right. Nonetheless, it's going to be fourth down now, and it's going to be a 36-yard attempt.
So it'll be Stout to hold the ball. Lining up on the play, Llewellyn, to try and boot this one through to make it 24-26. Cedar Ridge stacking up to try and get the block. Here's the snap. Spot. Kick is down. It is up, and it is a boomer straight through the uprights, almost making its way to the warning track, well beyond the uprights. Looked even better the second time around, and Llewellyn perfect from extra points tonight. And another good kick here for the Wildcats. What's up with East Chapel Hill and producing some pretty good kickers in their day?
Oh, absolutely.
Thomas Moore, a former East Chapel Hill Wildcat, now kicking with the Tar Heels.
That's right. Remember Thomas, and he managed to kick a 50-yard field goal to end East Chapel Hill's winless streak on that very goalpost against Northern Durham back in 2009. I'll never forget that night. It was a 50-yarder with 3 seconds remaining. That one, though, by Llewellyn was just as pretty. It looked shaky on the initial attempt that was called back, but that one there from 37 cleared the uprights by plenty, and it was some play there by Llewellyn, and it gives East Chapel Hill a 24-6 lead. And East, a little bit of breathing room they gave Cedar Ridge there after that big fumble, but we'll see how the East defensive line comes back out here, Walter. They've been very impressive tonight in this game.
Llewellyn is a junior, so still has another year to go here at East Chapel Hill to fine-tune his craft. If he has more kicks like that, he'll get some attention from some colleges, no doubt about it. Here's the kick by Llewellyn on the kickoff. It's a nice line drive, and it's going to go into the end zone for yet another touchback. Llewellyn playing with all sorts of confidence right now as he runs back to pick up the tee. Cedar Ridge will start on the 20-yard line with 9:43 to play here in the third quarter. It's 24-6. Wildcats with the lead. They did get the touchdown that they wanted on that play, but they did extend it to a three-score game, which is the important factor.
Now let's see if Cedar Ridge will adjust something here and try to take advantage of the speed they have on the perimeter. They still have some good hands receivers out there. Let's see if they can take advantage of it.
Here's the handoff up the middle, and there is nothing happening up the middle for Cedar Ridge. Julius Walton again with the attempt. He's gotten the majority of the carries here tonight, Jeff, but going up the middle has not been very successful. Cedar Ridge has been more productive when they've tried to break it to the outside.
That's because they got Chris Alston. He's just plugging the hole right up the middle there. Alston in there along with Josh Baldwin. They're doing a good job.
Defensive line doing a bunch of switching as they move players around, and it forced Cedar Ridge to second-guess everything. And two players jumped on the play. It looked like both of the tackles lurched backward after the two defensive ends for East Chapel Hill decided to switch sides. All the commotion threw things off, and it's going to make it second and 15.
When's the last time you can say East Chapel Hill has dominated a game defensively up front? I don't think I've ever seen this. They are causing a lot of mayhem up front.
Looking for their first win of the season tonight. And here's Pappas looking to throw on second and 15. He gets away from one defender, but he does not make it past Colby Owens, who wraps him up and takes him down as he was trying to get back to the line of scrimmage. And the ball is going to be spotted. Looks like they'll give him some forward momentum to the 13-yard line.
He was lucky to get that far. And I tell you, Colby's making these tackles even though he's being double-teamed. He got hit by two guys there, pretty much the interior of the line, and he still managed to fight it off and get the 2-yard sack on Pappas. Now it's third down and 17.
So third and 17 as Pappas gets the snap. He's got a blocker back there to give him some more time. Deflected at the line of scrimmage, and it falls down onto the ground. Trying to get after it to intercept it on the play was Vince Harrington, and it was yet again Colby Owens getting his arm up in the air to block that pass. And now Cedar Ridge, you would think, is going to have to punt this away.
Boy, Colby's having a great start to this half. He created a fumble, recovered a fumble, got a sack, and he deflects a pass there. What a start.
To punt it away is Brandon Ferris. He is standing inside his own end zone. Gets the snap. Not a ton of pressure, and he gets off a high arching kick. He has to be careful that this doesn't hit his own team as it bounces in the air and over top of Jonathan Hill to be downed along the near sideline. But another great opportunity of field position here for East Chapel Hill in this third quarter with the ball inside the 40-yard line at the 39. With 8 minutes and 14 seconds to play in the third quarter, it's 24-6. East Chapel Hill with the lead.
And East Chapel Hill doesn't want to take the pressure off. And we're seeing Dan Evers, Anthony Burns now come out. They're going to make up the left side of this offensive line. And when East has ran tonight, they typically gone to their left. And let's see if they go in that direction right here, because that's where they've had the most success on the ground.
East Chapel Hill with a first and 10 opportunity. Ball on the near sideline. A misdirection play. Handoff will go up the middle. Looking to gain some yardage on the play is Chris Fowler. He's across the 35-yard line. Good pickup on first down. We've got Paul Connell on the line over at Chapel Hill High School with an update between the Tigers and the Jaguars. Paul, what do you have for us? We'll get Paul on the line in just a moment as we'll get him connected. Haven't missed anything here. Second down and short. Handoff will go up the middle. Colby Owens dragging one defender a little bit further forward. Leans forward. He's got four Cedar Ridge Red Wolves clawing to him, but somehow he's able to keep that forward momentum going as he falls toward the 30-yard line. It's going to make it a very manageable third and short.
Yeah, Colby that time really wasn't tackled as much as he was ganged up on, and he was held up shy of the first down, but still a fine run by number 40.
Third and one. Ball on the 32-yard line, now down to the 30, excuse me. Needing to get to the 29 for the first down. They'll stay in the shotgun position as Stow will get the snap. Right now he's conversing with Colby Owens. Now he gets the snap, fakes the handoff, keeps it himself up the middle, spins at the 30, falls forward across the 29, and he's got the first down. Now I think we have Paul Connell on the line with the update from Chapel Hill High School. Paul?
Thank you, Walter, and it is a true catfight here in Chapel Hill. Tigers and the Jaguars. Jaguars resting momentum back from the Tigers. They're playing in front of the home crowd. Grant DeSalle, we are witnessing the emergence of a fellow who was in T.J. Johnson's shadow last year and is finding his own. DeSalle knows that the offense is missing Darius Allen, their star running back. He has been throwing 30-yard darts all around the field here at Chapel Hill and just completed another one, a 30-yard pass to Noah Layton. Second time that two has hooked up tonight. Second score to close the third quarter. It is 22-14. Jaguars still on top, but reeling here at Chapel Hill. Walter?
Thank you very much, Paul. It sounds like the Tigers are making a game of it, trying to come back in that contest, which would be very important for their program to not go 0-3 on the season. On first down here at East Chapel Hill, with the Wildcats up 24-6 on Cedar Ridge, they get a gain of two. It's now 2nd and 8. As Stow looks to throw, it is completed across the first down marker. It's going to be marked just shy of the 15-yard line on the play as Justin Douglas got in there for the reception.
And Douglas popped wide open. Great job by this offensive line by East Chapel Hill, because they're giving Stow all the time in the world that he wants to throw the football, and he got 10 yards on that play.
Going to try and get you some scores from across the area and some of the other games happening in Orange County and other games of interest to these conferences that are competing throughout the triangle tonight. Try and get those scores for you as we make our way through the third and fourth quarter here. First and 10 again. Here is the quarterback keeper by Stow as he maneuvers past two defenders but loses the football after getting hit. East alertly jumps on it in time, and they'll be able to maintain control, although the ball did pop back a few yards after the hit. And Jeff Hamlin, there's a flag on the field.
Yep, and we're going to have false start called, so none of that mattered anyway.
So it's going to come back, and that'll be a 10-yard penalty against East Chapel Hill, and it's going to be now 5-yard penalty, will be 1st and 15 for the Wildcats, and it's going to knock them back to the 20-yard line.
So, Walter, you were talking about some scores. We got the one just a moment ago from over at Colton Pierman Stadium. Look up some other ones here very quickly as we get them in. And let's see. Well, going to have a timeout first.
Well, we'll take a timeout with them, and we'll see if we can get you some of those scores. How about that? 5:11 to play in the third quarter. It's 24-6, East Chapel Hill leading Cedar Ridge. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Newstalk 1360 WCHL and chapelboro.com.
Hello, this is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Kit, it's that time of year again, Carolina football season, and nobody gets more excited about Carolina football
Sammy,
than I do.
Football and real estate have absolutely nothing in common, except once I had a client who wore shoulder pads.
Well, I think that counts.
And homes are measured in square feet, and football is a game of inches.
And our business is all about bringing two parties together who have totally opposing agendas. The buyer always wants to pay as little as possible, and the seller usually wants more than the market will bear.
And inspections are like first downs, and lenders are like referees, and closing is like the end zone.
By George, I think she's got it.
I do have it, Sammy. When it comes to buying and selling a house, we all want to come out ahead. And at Franklin Street Realty, we make that happen.
At Franklin Street, we have more than 20 years experience helping the right buyers and sellers find each other, so everyone ends up a winner.
Oh, Sammy, that's so sweet.
Franklin Street Realty, why would you call anyone else?
Chapel Hill, Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin with you as the Wildcats are continuing to drive even after suffering a penalty and a bit of a setback. First and 15, trying to get back to the original line of scrimmage on a handoff up the middle on the play was Colby Owens. He does get a few yards. It'll bring up second down. We do have one score for you from the area. It involves Northwood as the Chargers lead Jordan Matthews 9-6 in the third quarter. The one score update that we do have for you from across the area. We heard from Paul Connell a few minutes ago about Chapel Hill trying to make a comeback against Carrboro as the third quarter ended just a few moments ago there. It'll bring up second and 12 here for East Chapel Hill, Jeff, with 4.5 minutes to play here in the third quarter. At times tonight, this game has really slowed down just due to various reasons. We saw it late in the second quarter, and we've kind of seen it here over the past couple of minutes. Stout will try and change that as he evades a couple of tackles, gets to the near side, far sideline, and just tosses the ball out of bounds. And now we will have a flag that comes in late at the end of the play. Looks like this is going to be a late hit against Cedar Ridge.
Well, Matt Murdy was the player who disrupted it all the way. He came in on a corner blitz. But did he hit? No, they call it intentional grounding. Oh.
Even though he was obviously well along the sideline and just flipped the ball out of bounds.
They ruled that the ball never got past the line of scrimmage, I guess.
Which is accurate, as it did not make it back to the line of scrimmage, because from where he tossed it, it just went immediately out of bounds.
So that's a major foul there, because it's going to take it back. So make it third down, and let's see, they're going to mark it from the spot of the foul.
Should be, what, 10 back?
Yeah, 10 back,
school,
so
right?
It's going to make it all the way back to the 33-yard line. So we're looking at a third 25 situation now.
WCHL Championship Sports High School Games of the Week are presented by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance in Chapel Hill, and in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance. So it'll bring up third and very long here for the Wildcats, as they also lose the down on the play. 24-6 is the score. Wildcats with the lead, with the offense stalling a little bit here due to various penalties and fumbles and just bad play here on this drive. Squandering right now what was very good field position. So here's the snap. Stout throws to his right. It is off the fingertips of Owens and intercepted, bringing it back up the left sideline and stepping out of bounds is Marquez Hunter. If he hadn't have stepped out of bounds, he had some blockers in front of him, would have at least gotten across midfield, maybe much, much more. And now we've got another late flag that comes in, Jeff Famlin, at midfield as East Chapel Hill was walking off the field of play, and the referee is now rushing the East Chapel Hill Wildcats remaining on the field to go over to the sideline, and Cedar Ridge goes over to the sideline. This was well after the play.
Yeah, it looked like an East Chapel Hill player walked off the field disgruntled, and he's being lectured by one of the coaches. Clearly his temper might have gotten the best of him during that run back on the interception by Marquez Hunter. And so this appears to be something that could potentially put the ball in East Chapel Hill territory. This is yet another opportunity for Cedar Ridge to make a game out of this. It's 24-6 East Chapel Hill with 4:09 remaining, and let's see what we have here.
Plenty of time to work with as the referees will continue to conference at midfield right now. While we've got a moment as we're approaching the top of the hour, 9 o'clock, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. And down the lines here, you're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on WCHL.
This is High School Football on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It is unsportsmanlike conduct called against Cedar Ridge, and then also unsportsmanlike conduct called against East Chapel Hill. And this is where we see the weird rule where they have to visually mark it off on the field. They can't just do the math in their head and say, here's where the ball is, which often causes a lot of confusion for the fans in the stands that don't know what's going on.
Well, why can't they just do nothing? In that situation there, you're marking 15 yards to go ahead 15 yards when the result's going to be the same thing. It's 6 and 1, half dozen in the other. Why don't you just keep it there?
It's another one of those situations where just people do what they do, and the rules are the way they are for whatever reason it may be.
It's like asking why can't.
And now we've got we've got another flag coming out onto the field, Jeff Hamlin.
Huh?
And
might have been. What
or
we got here?
Are my eyes deceiving me? Do you see one down? I thought I could have sworn. Well, I just. Oh, he tossed it to the other ref. Sorry.
He was giving him his flag back. Otherwise, he'd have to throw a bean bag.
There you go.
Officials get a flag and a bean bag.
I saw the referee standing in the secondary just nonchalantly toss the flag out, and I thought he was throwing it onto the ground to call a penalty while both teams are just standing around. Meanwhile, I didn't see the other referee circling back to receive the flag as he was on his way over to the Cedar Ridge field. Yet another just odd stoppage of time, taking forever to get going. We had clock issues earlier, figuring out lots of different penalty situations. All that said, though, it's Cedar Ridge with an opportunity to get back in the game now with 1st and 10 in their own territory. They'll run to the right side. Yet another flag comes out, this one in the backfield, and will likely knock Cedar Ridge back for holding. They'll most likely call based on where the penalty emerged from. Pappas thinks it as well, as he's already backpedaling his way inside his own 20-yard line, as that's where they're going to be brought back here. And from the spot of the foul, it's going to be a very costly penalty here, Jim.
Yeah, all the way back to the, looks like the 24-yard line. For this one, how about those questions that make you wonder, like, why can't Bluto eat a can of spinach and not the heck out of Popeye? I always wonder that one, but I guess that doesn't have as much to do with football. Maybe boxing, but not football.
Well, we talk about knockout punches all the time in football.
That's true.
We can find a way
knockout
to relate
hits,
it.
Knockout hits, yeah. Nowadays you get thrown out for it, but it still happens.
So Cedar Ridge is now on their own 24-yard line. They've got to get to the 48 for a first down. Throw across the middle. It's almost picked off. It was over top of the 6'3" receiver, Jonathan Hall, and then trying to pick it off on the play for East Chapel Hill was Brandon Miles, but the 5'6" defensive back just didn't have enough inches on the play to be able to pick that one off, as the wind has shifted here at East Chapel Hill, now blowing into the press box and blowing our rosters all around.
Almost lifting Old Glory off the pole up to the far end of the field there. Not quite doing it, however. Pappas now 9 of 16.
Second down. He'll throw out to the left side. This one is caught by Jonathan Hall, and he's got some steam as he moves upfield. Gets to the 44-yard line before being taken down, and they will have a manageable third down play coming up, needing to get to the 48 for a first down. So third down for Cedar Ridge after a great pass from Pappas. Pretty much a very similar play to what they just ran that almost got picked off, but this time Jeff Pappas was on the mark with his delivery.
And he got 20 yards out of it, so it's 3rd and 4. This might be 4-down territory.
Might be. Here's the pass from Pappas looking to his left. They go to Hall again. He makes the catch, holds onto the ball, stutter steps past the defender across midfield, down at the 45-yard line along the left hash mark. They move the sticks. Two great passes in a row from Pappas to Hall, taking advantage of the size difference. Hall at 6'3". And he's matching up right now against Brandon Miles, who's only 5'6".
And you can understand why. He's the man who leads Cedar Ridge in receiving.
They throw to the right this time. McCoy with the catch. He's got a first down. 15-yard gain on the play as the ball's marked at the 30-yard line. And so Cedar Ridge really churning the yardage out here over the past couple of plays. East Chapel Hill doesn't like what they're seeing, and they're going to go ahead and whistle for a timeout. 3 minutes and 3 seconds to play. The Wildcats have called for their first timeout of the half. It's 24-6, Wildcats with the lead, with Cedar Ridge trying to get back in it. We'll find out if they can when we come back on your high school football game of the week on News Talk 1360, WCHL, and Chapelboro.com.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
And 3 seconds to play here in the third quarter. Pappas really has this offense moving for Cedar Ridge right now, Jeff, and he's putting up some good numbers tonight.
12 of 19 for 201 yards, and his favorite man has been Hall, 5 receptions for 50 yards.
It's first down now, ball at the 30-yard line. Pappas to pass. He'll keep it himself. Now bounces to the outside. Thought about going up the middle, and he swarmed under there. It's going to be a loss of at least one on the play, maybe two. And we've got another flag that's come in at the end of the play, a couple of flags. One thrown back in the secondary, another one thrown right where the tackler took Pappas down to the ground. And they're going to have to conference again here. And this is just really disjointing the game right now, all the undisciplined penalties that we're seeing, and then the long time that it's taking to sort the penalties out.
Colby Owens was in there trying to make the sack.
It's going to be a face mask yep. against East Chapel Hill.
That's right. So it's going to be a 15-yard mark off, and actually it's half the distance to the goal line from that point, so it's going to bring it down to the 15-yard line.
So Cedar Ridge, the benefactor of a penalty here, and the timeout that East Chapel Hill called to get the troops rallied back up again, although it worked on stopping the play, did not work from a discipline standpoint, as the face mask gives Cedar Ridge a first down.
Take the ball down to the 14-yard line.
So first and 10 once again for the Red Wolves. Here's the snap. Pappas steps up into the pocket, faces pressure from behind him, does a good job to hold on to the ball, but he is dropped for a sack. East Chapel Hill with more good pressure coming off the end.
It was Ian Levin getting in there once again around the edge, and he comes up with what is the fifth sack of Pappas in this game.
So Pappas gets right back up, though, and he goes into the shotgun, takes the snap, looks to his right, flushed out of the pocket, goes toward the sideline, back to the line of scrimmage, jumps past the defender, but is swarmed under and taken down immediately on the play. Another big tackle by Josh Baldwin, the 290-pounder, with the stop.
And if Baldwin wasn't going to get him, then Levin was coming around the corner ready to play another head-on Pappas. He's taking a beating in there.
Only times Pappas has really gotten in trouble tonight is when he's had to scramble away like that and not been able to get rid of the ball. He has not had excellent ball security, as we've seen him turned over in a couple of situations tonight when under that pressure. Otherwise, he's played a great game. Pappas sends a man in motion to the far side. Now he'll get the snap, looks to the flat, throws it out there. It's caught, and moving his way up the field, breaking past one defender into the end zone. Touchdown, Julius Walton with the reception, and then lightning in a bottle just explodes downfield and gets into the end zone.
That was some major speed, and I've been wondering why Cedar Ridge didn't go to that more during the course of this game. Take advantage of the advantage that they have on the perimeter. When you get right down to it, they do have a speed advantage.
And we will go down and check in with Hartford Zirkle here in... Well, Hartford's going to send us some information on what his observations have been down along the sideline. Cedar Ridge going for two here. Pappas rolls to the right, and he will lean in looking for the goal line, and he got in. The signal comes from the side judge that he was able to lean into two defenders and make his way into the end zone for the two-point conversion. Gutsy play that time by Cedar Ridge to go for two, and then for Pappas, a very small quarterback, to lower that shoulder, absorb two hits, and get across the goal line for the two-point conversion. It's 24-14. Now just a 10-point game. Still plenty of time left in this contest with a minute 40 to go. We'll take a timeout and come right back here at East Chapel Hill High School. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
We'll be right back. We'll give you an update from Chapel Hill High School in just a few moments after this kickoff, as Cedar Ridge is on the board once again here in the second half. Their first score of the half, it's 24-14 now. The Red Wolves only down by a 10 spot with a minute 40 seconds to play in the third quarter. It'll be Brandon Ferris to kick it off. So far, the ball is blown off the tee, so he'll go reset it. So far, the strategy for Cedar Ridge on kickoffs tonight, Jeff, has been to boot the ball high into the air to one of the upbacks.
And he'll be kicking into a slight wind this time around. It's been sky kicks, though, most of the night. East hasn't had a chance for a return on the two prior Cedar Ridge kickoffs.
And here comes Ferris as he trots his way up and delivers this one yet again very high. It bounces in front of the return man. He tries to fall on it. The ball may have come loose there, but East does cover up onto the ball, and they'll have pretty good field position just shy of the 30-yard line. Looks like they'll mark him at the 27 is where East will start its next possession. Let's head over to Chapel Hill High School and Paul Connell, who has an update on the game between the Chapel Hill Tigers and the Carrboro Jaguars. Paul?
Thank you, Walter. Walter, every time the Tigers try and make a game of it, Jaguars return, and they are able to put it on the back of Trey Sharp and move down the field. 65-yard drive, most of those carries on the back of Trey Sharp. He has 20 carries for 194 yards on the evening, but it drove a lot going over from 11 yards to give the Tigers the 29-14 advantage at the 5-minute mark, and then just 30 seconds and three plays later, Grant DeSelm goes to work, a 27-yard keeper off play action. And then a throw into the right flat to his target, Noah Layton, for another 28 yards. Down and out here again to Layton in the left-hand side on first down. Puts the Tigers first and 10 at the Jaguars 27. Here's DeSelm stepping back, throws one over the middle. This one is dropped. It'll be third down and two. 4:12 remaining to play here in the fourth quarter at Chapel Hill. Tigers driving, but down 15 points. Walter?
Thank you very much, Paul. The Wildcats on their first play from scrimmage. It's a 40-yard pass bomb down the sideline, but overthrowing the receiver was Stow on the play. Now here's a handoff on second and 10. It goes to Colby, and he barrels his way across a couple of defenders, gets past the 40-yard line, taken down at the 42. Strong running from Colby Owens.
To say the least, Walter, he broke two tackles and breaking that out in the open. And Colby is not a young man who has blazing speed. He's one of those John Riggin straight-ahead runners, another 1980s NFL reference there, and he managed to break it out there for 14.
So with first and 10 being the situation, I was thinking Tim Riggins there for a moment from Friday Night Lights. It's like, wow, a Friday Night's Light reference.
Oh, you're young.
John Riggins came out there. There's the handoff up the middle. It'll go to Fowler, who's in for Owens on the play. Gets to the line of scrimmage before getting swarmed under. Maybe fell forward for a yard. It'll bring up second and, well, give him 2 yards on the play as he made his way to the 45-yard line on the play. Make it the 44. Sight lines are all messed up here.
That's
sorry.
True.
40 seconds to play here in the third quarter.
Well, maybe you're old, too.
Maybe that, too.
East Chapel Hill is going to run one more play here in this quarter, and it's impressive how many players are touching the ball for them. They have a lot of versatility in this backfield for skill positions.
Yet they've only punched the ball into the end zone 3 times when it feels like it should be much more. They'll hand it off to the wideout who circled his way over to the far side of the field. It's Jack Hankins, who's been getting the job done receiving tonight, but now he carries the ball across for the first down to what will likely end the third quarter, although there does appear to be a Cedar Ridge player down on the ground. At least there was for a moment. Now it looks like everybody's standing up and able to walk away, and they'll be able to restart the clock after they get the chain set. With 13 seconds to play in the third quarter, East Chapel Hill will be content to head over to the sideline. With the score being 24-14, East Chapel Hill has now worked their way back into Cedar Ridge territory. But the Red Wolves have been very capable of getting defensive stops tonight when they've needed to. They need another one here. We'll find out if they can do it when we come back. You're listening to the WCHL and Chapelboro.com High School Game of the Week. 24-14 our score, Wildcats leading.
And he hits Davis 40 yards downfield. Touchdown! What a huge grab. Let's see that again in slow motion.
Feeder inbounds, and he's pulling out his phone to get a free rate quote from Geico.
So he could save hundreds of dollars on his car insurance.
While he pulls down the ball with the other hand.
That was one for the highlight reel, folks.
Students, alumni, and faculty of any ACC school could qualify for a special discount on Geico Auto Insurance. Call or go to geico.com/the ACC.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
It is 9:13 in the evening here at East Chapel Hill High School. 12 minutes, though, up on the clock as we get ready to begin the fourth quarter of action. 24-14, Wildcats leading the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves. Walter Sorholt and Jeff Hamlin with you as it is first and 10 for the Wildcats with the ball on the 46-yard line in Cedar Ridge territory. Handoff will go to Fowler, spinning his way across the first down marker after being taken down at the 36, falling forward to the 35. It's another first down for East Chapel Hill. WCHL Championship Sports High School Games of the Week are presented by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance in Chapel Hill and in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance. It'll bring up another first down for the Wildcats with the ball on the 35.
East over 100 yards rushing now tonight. 31 carries, 110 yards.
Good effort from three different backs who have gotten the bulk of the work back there, Fowler and Owens, along with Hubbard, who we've seen a couple of times. It'll be Howard on the handoff this time. Doesn't get a lot on first down here as he tried to get across the 35-yard line. He got to the 34 for a slight pickup with 11:15 and counting now remaining in the fourth quarter.
And the majority of the time, Walter, when Cedar Ridge is getting pressure, it's come from having to blitz a safety. That time, Ben Rice came in on the tackle. Once again, he had to come in from a free safety position just to put pressure on him. And we're seeing Ryan Weeks, another safety, frequently cheat. These might want to look long here because they can burn Cedar Ridge on a blitz.
Four wide receivers. Man goes in motion to the far side of the field. They'll hand it off to him, and he'll try and cut it back up the middle. Not a wise decision as the lead receiver on this team, Jack Hankins, is swarmed under heavily by several Cedar Ridge players as their defense tries to make a statement here. Hankins would have been better to just continue to try and go to the outside rather than losing all his momentum and getting nailed by several defenders.
Yep, and Harbon Allison wasn't going to let him get far. He squared his shoulders up very, very well to stop any momentum at all that Jack Hankins could make on the play. So a third and nine, two important plays by the Cedar Ridge defense to open up the fourth.
We've seen this happen a couple times in the second half. East Chapel Hill able to get into Cedar Ridge territory, everything flowing smoothly, and then all of a sudden Cedar Ridge's defense steps up. On top of that, the offense seems to have some confusion as they send trips out to the left now. On third down, here's the snap. Stow looking to the left all day to pass. Now he's flushed out of the pocket. Throws downfield, and it is intercepted. Cedar Ridge gets it inside the 20-yard line. Return coming up the near sideline. Jumping over a defender. Making another move. Down the sideline he goes. On the play is Walton. He will not be stopped. Down to the 20. 10. Touchdown. But there is a flag all the way back at the 30-yard line at the other side of the field. And we've got a flag that comes in late all the way at the end of the return. And it's going to take about 20 minutes to get this all sorted out.
Yep, we've got a lot to sort out there. But a couple of times tonight, we've seen Stowe make an ill-advised pass, and that was another one. In fact, that was a carbon copy of the last interception he threw that was picked off by Hunter, because he threw that one in a corner that really his wide receiver had no chance of getting. So this is all coming back as the original flag was thrown well upfield at the Cedar Ridge 38-yard line, and then we had two more flags come down just as Hunter crossed the goal line for a touchdown that wasn't going to count anyway.
While they're sorting all this out, we have another update from Chapel Hill as that game is nearing a close. Let's go to Paul Connell to hear the update between Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Paul?
Thank you, Walter. And the Tigers coming back to the strength to hold that Tiger. Onside kick. Tigers after it. Jags on it. Don't know who has it. Jags say they do. Tigers say they do. While they sort it out, let's bring you up to date. It was Chapel Hill up or down 29-14. Grant Bissell leads the Tigers on a drive, capping it with a pass to Brandon Wendell from 9 yards out to make the score 29-22 for DeSelm. He is 19 of 34, 223 yards and 3 touchdowns. The Tigers have recovered this onside kick, and with 3:15 remaining, they're going to try and grind it out. Tigers defense going to try and make them go 3 and out and see if they can get this one to overtime. Walter.
That sounds like an exciting game over at Chapel Hill, and we'll see what the defense can do to hold them up there and get another report from Paul in a few minutes. Meanwhile, at Cedar Ridge, trying to put together a comeback of their own. Unfortunately, the long interception return for a touchdown was erased due to that block in the back at the other end of the field, and it knocked Cedar Ridge back to the 23-yard line where they start this drive out from. And now they'll go to work after a first down carry, gets them 3 yards up the field. It'll be a pass for Pappas on the next play as he flips it up into the air, and it's knocked down out of the air by Tyler Hill. The linebacker stepped up, and, you know, he put his hands on his head there, Jeff, after the play, because he probably could have just hauled the ball in and just floated down towards his arms. Probably could have just hauled it in and ran it into the end zone. But you know what? That's what they teach you. You see that ball there, you knock it down. He did exactly what his coaches probably teach him.
Exactly, and he could have easily wound up with a pick six there, even though it was a little bit beyond his reach. Now 3rd and 8, big play.
Big play for Cedar Ridge here. Pappas takes the snap. It'll be a screen toss out to the left side, turning it back to the interior part of the field, looking for that first down marker, fighting to get there, and looking like he got very, very close on the play was Marquez Hunter. The 142-pound wide receiver was churning and churning. It looks like he may be just shy of the first down with 8 minutes and 45 seconds to go. Down by 10 points, it's 4-down territory for Cedar Ridge. You've got Pappas, who is not a big guy, so a quarterback keeper is tough to decide to go with here. And it's not 4th and inches, it's 4th and a good yard.
Yep.
They'll stay in the shotgun for Pappas. He'll take the snap. They're going to pass it on 4th and short. He's rolling to his left, throws it downfield into the air, and it is almost caught, but out of the fingertips of Julius Walton. Great defensive pressure on the play from Brandon Miles, who was in there to knock the ball out of Walton's hands, and a big 4th down stop by East Chapel Hill. And it's unfortunate that Cedar Ridge wasn't able to convert there. Interesting decision to go for the pass on 4th and short.
Absolutely, and that was an all-or-nothing play, but really I can't say I blame them when you get right down to it, Walter, because they really had to think about going for it there in that situation. And when you have 2 scores down, 8 minutes to go, it was, I think, the right move to go ahead and go for it there.
I wonder if maybe a screen pass would have been more effective, like one of the earlier plays in the drive. Here's a handoff as East goes back to work on offense. Getting lifted up off the ground on the hit was Chris Fowler, but he did a good job to churn some yardage out there and make it a 2nd and short situation with 8 minutes and counting for these East Chapel Hill Wildcats, looking to pick up their first win of the season. We've got an exciting update coming from Chapel Hill High School in just a moment. You will want to hear this, so do not tune away. We'll send it over to Paul Connell in just a moment. But first, East Chapel Hill with a 2nd and 4 situation, 7:40 to go, up by 10. Taking plenty of time to get the playoff here, as Stow sends a man in motion coming from the near side, crossing just in front of him. It'll be a handoff to Fowler, and he's swarmed under right at the line of scrimmage, launching out for the hit. I believe you've been calling his name all night long, Jeff, is Ben Rice, the linebacker, a junior, getting in there to make the stop. It'll bring up 3rd down after a loss of 2 on the play, and it's going to bring up 3rd and 5. We'll send you out to Chapel Hill High School in just a moment, as the Wildcats get a couple of players on and off the field. They'll bring Fowler to the near sideline and send out their Hubbard to be the running back for the next play. They've also got in there back behind Stow, Armand Berry. And here's the snap. It will be a handoff to Hubbard. He follows Berry, now bounces it to the outside, and he'll be shot just shy of the first down marker. As he just gets across the line of scrimmage. And actually mark him back a half a yard here, and it brings up 4th down. It'll be interesting to see what kind of leg they might have on this play if they were to send Llewellyn out there based on that earlier field goal he made.
Yeah, it really doesn't do much good, though, to go ahead and go for a field goal here. They're going to call timeout and talk it over.
East will call their second timeout of the half. That'll give us a perfect opportunity to send it over to Chapel Hill High School for an exciting update between the Tigers and the Carrboro Jaguars. Paul Connell has the update, Paul. We're still waiting on Paul to get connected to give us the latest update from Chapel Hill High School. We will send it over to him as soon as we get the opportunity, and he'll be filling us in. We have a fourth down play coming up for East Chapel Hill in just a moment. To reset the stage for you, 6:23 on the clock here in our game. All right, we have Paul now. We'll send it over to Chapel Hill High School for the update between the Tigers and the Jaguars. Paul?
2:22 remaining in this one, 29-22 in favor of the Jaguars, but there has been a turning of the tide. Trey Sharp, 67-yard run for touchdown, called back by a push in the back on the very next play, a fumble up the middle, recovered by the Tigers. Here's Grant DeSalm scrambling from his own 35, now the 30, 25, steps out of bounds at the 22. Tigers are trying to bring this one to overtime. 2:15 clock stop, Tigers down 7. We'll call you back with another one just in a few minutes.
An exciting finish taking place over at Chapel Hill High School. Maybe we have one on our hands here as well on the east side of town. Fourth down and 5 yards to gain for East Chapel Hill. They're going to go for it in an odd place to kick it, so they'll run it instead. It's Hubbard trying to get up the middle. He doesn't get to the first down marker, and there is a flag that comes in on the play as well.
Well, this will be interesting. Cedar Ridge, I think, has stopped East. They have, because the markup's going to come at the 25. The penalty would be a hold against East.
And they should, if they're smart, they'll decline that.
They will.
Although we saw in college football a spike on fourth down last week. So
that's right, by Florida Atlantic.
Nothing is impossible.
But it is declined, and so it will be
Cedar Ridge
football.
They play the Pirates, don't they, this weekend?
They played them last night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, they played them last night?
Yeah,
okay.
And East Carolina won that one. The only FBS game between two FBS schools last night in the midst of all the hoopla between Denver and Baltimore.
6:18 to play. So Pappas gets another chance. Again, still plenty of time to make something happen, but they got to get going quickly. Here's a handoff, and they will try and run the ball. As I may be mistaken, but I believe it was Ben Rice who got the handoff for. We just haven't seen the handoffs very often for the Cedar Ridge squad tonight, but we see it there as Rice is only able to get a yard on the play. It'll bring up 2nd and 9.
Yeah, Rice had to run around tackle, and East has got a lot of speed on the edge.
Pappas looks to his right, fakes a throw, pump fakes, now throws one over a lazy toss that somehow gets caught. Pappas just seemed to float it out there, but somehow able to get to that ball was Julius Walton. Boy, if Walton had a little bit more size, he would really be a force to be reckoned with. He's got good hands, good speed, but also just good spatial awareness of where to go to get the ball, Jeff.
He looks like the type of school that a North Carolina Central or Division II school would be interested in, very similar to J.R. Sharp, who played at Central after leaving East.
Here's a throw from Pappas. He looks out to the left to Walton. Walton gets the pass, turns on the Jets. He's got the first down and more across the 50-yard line down to the 45. Stops the clock, most importantly, as he converts the first down, and they'll wait for the chains to move. And this is where that no-huddle offense really helps Cedar Ridge out, because they are already in position, basically ready to snap the ball, as the clock has started again with under 5.5 to play. Trips to the right, shotgun once again. Pappas will roll to his left. Now he's going to tuck it down and run. He's got 5 yards on the play, make it 7, as he scampers out of bounds and stops the clock for good.
And Pappas is really piling on the offense as he winds up with 7 yards there to move it ahead to the East Chapel Hill 38, and he's determined to make a game out of this yet. 5:18 remaining. It's only a 10-point deficit, and Cedar Ridge has all three of its timeouts.
Neither team is a huge big play team, as we'll see here. A 2nd and short play. Pappas throw the ball over the middle of the field. Oh. McCoy trying to pull it in with one arm. He was just a little bit slow. He kind of hesitated on his route, and the ball ended up being just outside his fingertips. Pappas letting his arms linger over top of his head for just a moment after the pass was incomplete, because McCoy had daylight in front of him to run to the end zone if he could have hauled into the pass. And here's a big 3rd down.
Wide open man.
Trips to the right. They'll run the screen play. It is taken by Marquise Hunter. Hunter gets the 1st down and more as he churns his way to the 30-yard line, which is where he'll be marked. Again, the clock is stopped with 5 minutes, 6 seconds to play.
Well, the play calling for Cedar Ridge has been pretty simple. When in doubt, go with the swing pass. That's what they've done now the last three third downs, and it's worked each time.
That's what I think they should have done that on that fourth down play
yep.
they had a few minutes ago. They're going to go with another swing pass to the left. This one's going to be taken by Walton, and Walton gets some more yardage, but he is tackled shy of the first down marker. That's going to cause the clock to continue to run with under 4:50 to play here in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they're just shy of the first down. That was a pickup of 9 there. So Cedar Ridge can opt to go ahead and run forward here, and they can stop the clock if they pick up the first down.
They're going to try to pass it instead. Pappas looking to the end zone. He's got McCoy out there, and he drops it in the end zone. May not have mattered as we got a flag back near the line of scrimmage where McCoy was lined up originally. And we'll see what the referee signal here.
Somebody get a head start on offense.
And yep. it is a false start against Cedar Ridge. So that'll knock them back a couple of yards and turn it, instead of a second and one, into a second and six.
Yeah, that was a big penalty, a big false start there. Man, can't have those mistakes. Both of these teams have made huge mistakes. East last few drives, they've had turnover on downs, two interceptions. That's been their half, along with what stands to be now a very important field goal from Llewellyn that made this a two-score game. At the time, it was a three-score game.
You're absolutely right, and he knocked it in not only the first time, but then after a penalty, knocked it
yep.
back to make it 5 yards longer. He succeeded then as well. So second and down, here's the handoff to Ben Rice.
Oh boy.
And odd play call there. I guess
yeah.
Cedar Ridge is just trying to catch East Chapel Hill off guard as it gets across the 25-yard line, but they just haven't been able to get much on the ground tonight, so not only do you not gain any yardage, really, but you let another 25, 30
yeah.
seconds wind off the clock down to 4:10. Here's the snap. Pappas runs into Rice, now throws it across the middle, and it's out of the fingertips on the play of Jonathan Hill, almost picked off as well by East Chapel Hill after the deflection. Man was in the vicinity. I believe Miles was
yep.
the player who was close to it. So it's fourth down now for Cedar Ridge, and this could be the ball game. If they don't get it here, East Chapel Hill is going to be able to wind a lot of time off this clock, and Cedar Ridge wants to think about it. They call a timeout with 4 minutes and 5 seconds to play. We have another update from Chapel Hill High School, an exciting game on the west side of town. Over O'Connell for the update. Paul?
Walter, 1:27, ready to play. If Winter swapped the ball, Grant Bazum wants to be a winner. Takes it himself from 9 yards out to make the score 29-28 at the two-minute mark. And then Chapel Hill fumbled the snap on the ensuing extra point to keep the score at 29-28. They come back up the field, onside kick, ricochets off the front line of the Jaguars. Tigers recover. They have run two plays at midfield. It is now second and 10. At midfield, Tigers trying to come back. These cats certainly have nine lives. We'll let you know what's going on as soon as we wrap it up at Cedar Ridge in East Chapel Hill.
Walker's holding on the Tigers.
It is incredible hearing what is going on over at Chapel Hill High School. What a comeback by the Tigers, and then heartbreakingly fumbling the extra point snap, which would have been able to send the game into overtime, but they get the onside kick. We'll go for another update soon. Fourth down in this game. Cedar Ridge throws it across the middle of the field, and the pass is incomplete. Looking for the reception was Marquise Hunter, and he just could not grab the ball. Pappas overshot him by just the slimmest of margins, and that's going to give the ball back to East Chapel Hill. And the Wildcats should have the win in hand here, Jeff. As long as they don't turn the ball over, they should be able to waste a decent amount of time off the clock here with 4:01 remaining and a 10-point lead.
Cedar Ridge with two timeouts remaining, but you're right, Walter. But the one thing that has hurt East Chapel Hill this half is turnovers. They've turned it over now on three of their four drives, including a turnover on downs.
Stow will hand it off to Fowler as he runs off the right side on a sweep play, and he is going to be taken down after a gain of 3 on the play, and it's going to bring up second down, but East Chapel Hill will be able to let that clock wind a little. Cedar Ridge is going to let it wind, at least on this play.
Fowler now with 56 yards on 14 carries. He's the leading rusher in the contest.
Pickup of 4, so it'll be second and 6. Ball on the 24-yard line. Shotgun formation again for Stow. He'll hand it off. This time it'll be Fowler going to the left, and then it immediately cuts his way back to the right. Cedar Ridge's defense is there for the stop. And we've got a Cedar Ridge player slow to get up after the play as well, which will bring an official timeout. And now he's right back up, as it was McCoy.
Yeah. Cedar Ridge called a timeout.
Not McCoy on the play, actually. It was Harvin Allison. And no timeout called by Cedar Ridge. They did call the official timeout.
Well, officials started to point that direction. I take that back, though. Surprised they haven't used the timeout.
3:10 to play now. I would imagine if this play is not successful for a first down, they'll go ahead and call that timeout, stop the clock. 3 minutes to go. There's the snap. Stout looking to his left, a throw. Now scrambling. Tries to split between two defenders. Gets a hard hit as he comes up to the 29-yard line where he's taken down there. And now we get the whistle to stop play as Stout is slow to get up, as well as one of the Cedar Ridge players who helped absorb that hit. That was Brad Buddington in on the play. And they're going to bring on the kicking team here for East Chapel Hill as Cedar Ridge has called the timeout with 2 minutes and 50 seconds to play, 24-14. Well, Cedar Ridge will get another opportunity here to get the ball as long as East Chapel Hill doesn't try for a fake punt or anything like that.
That was a good play by Stow there because an immature player would have thrown the ball away. He wanted to keep the clock moving, did Stow, and he did a smart move, even though he paid the price
for
a hard hit. He forced the timeout, so Cedar Ridge has just one remaining. The poor play there for East would have been to toss an incompletion because you don't burn a timeout for Cedar Ridge and you save time for the Red Wolves to mount a comeback. Instead, it's a 10-point game still, 2:50 remaining, and Cedar Ridge has just one timeout.
We've got Paul Connell still on the line. And, Paul, real quick, well, let's hold it here. They're coming back out onto the field. We'll send it to you after this punt, Paul, to get another update from Chapel Hill as that game is also winding down in the fourth quarter. So East Chapel Hill, the punter is standing back at the 20-yard line. Will Riverbank, Rivenbark, excuse me. Back to receive is McCoy. It's a high snap. Ooh. Rivenbark has to get it off quickly. It's a decent punt for how quickly he had to send that one. And it hits an East Chapel Hill player on its way down the field. And it's going to be marked at the 42-yard line. In their own end, that's where Cedar Ridge will have field position when play resumes. For a quick update from Chapel Hill, let's send it over to Paul Connell.
Tigers turn it over on downs. Grant Selm doing his best to throw it down the field, but could not connect with either of his receivers on third and fourth down. 29-28, the score remains. Jags up 147.5 seconds remaining to play in this one. The Tigers have taken the first two timeouts. It's third and long. That should just about do it, barring a miracle. 29-28 here as the Jags try to wrap it up at Chapel Hill High School to win their third in a row against Chapel Hill and send the Tigers to 0-3 on the season. Walter?
Thank you very much, Paul. Sounds like maybe a heartbreaker in the process there for Chapel Hill, unfortunately. Meanwhile, back here, Pappas on first and 10 scrambles and goes for a run. And while he's busy stiff-arming the East Chapel Hill player so that Pappas can get out of bounds, he runs directly into Javon Davis, who delivered one of the hardest hits of the night, standing on the sideline. Pappas ran right into him. Davis just kind of watched him fall down there. Now they'll go with a screen pass to the left side. It is taken by Walton. Walton gets the first down and more, keeping his legs churning. Gets taken down right around the 40-yard line. With 2 minutes and 24 seconds to play, the clock is still winding down here. And now finally it's been stopped at 2:20. As Cedar Ridge will reset its offense and be ready to go very quickly as soon as the chains are moved.
Another Pappas, swing pass.
Yep, gets this call from the sideline, but they've got to start churning out more yards than they have been, and they want to try and get back into the game. Pappas will now pass down the middle of the field. He's got a man out there. The throw is caught. Touchdown, Cedar Ridge. Marquez Hunter, no flags on the field, and Cedar Ridge is right back in the game with 2:07 to play. A 41-yard touchdown strike from Pappas to Hunter in a beautiful play, and just like that, Jeff, they do turn out some more yardage, and they turn it into 6 points.
Yeah, we were wondering if it was going to be a big play still to come in this contest, and sure enough, it comes right there. The one thing East could not afford to do was give up a long touchdown, but a 41-yard strike, and you have to give all sorts of credit here to Peyton Pappas.
Now, Ferris, the kicker for Cedar Ridge, missed an extra point earlier in the game. This is a crucial one because they're down by four. He can pull them within a field goal if they make this. They've got a player late on the field to join the kick attempt. Here's the snap. Spot kick is up. Ferris's kick is through the uprights this time. And with 2:07 remaining, Cedar Ridge is alive. Down by only three. 24-21. We'll find out the conclusion of this game when we come back on 1360 WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Possibly an onside kick getting ready to come up here for Cedar Ridge. But first, let's go back to Chapel Hill where we have a final. Paul Cottle.
Into the victory formation go the Jaguars. Chapel Hill unable to mount the final comeback. When it comes right down to it, too much Trey Sharp. Once again, 26 carries, 209 yards, two touchdowns. Grant Selm did his best to keep the Tigers on the path, missing the running back Darius Allen. Selm finishes up at 21-40, 239 yards and three TDs, but not enough to keep the Tigers from dropping to 0-3. Back to you, Walter.
And it will be Cedar Ridge lining up for the kickoff here, and they do go with the onside kick, but we've got whistles before the ball even made it 10 yards. Beautiful kick, is it? It's been exactly 10,
yeah.
But I believe that there were some players ahead of the kick for what is likely going to be an offsides call, which is going to really make the onside kick difficult here.
Tell you what, East has got to be happy that was blown dead right away, because Ferris won't get another kick like that off.
No,
his last
that
words.
Was beautiful.
That was just the way you want an onside kick delivered, a knuckleball that you don't know which way is going to bounce the third time it hits the ground.
And you have East not wanting to lurch forward from that 10-yard mark. So they'll have to kick it from the 30-yard line now. Excuse me, the 35.
Yeah.
Re-kick here. And here it comes. He'll try again. This one's still a pretty good knuckleball. It gets touched by East. Bounces into the hands of one of the players at the 49-yard line. But it does look like the Wildcats were able to come up with it.
And I think that was Graham in there, John Graham, who got his hands on it. It was.
Good job by Graham to cover up. So East Chapel Hill, Jeff, they have 2 minutes and 4 seconds remaining. What needs to happen for them to be able to hold on to this win? And if you're Cedar Ridge's defense, what do you do here?
Well, you got to hold on to the ball here when you get right down to it. Cedar Ridge only has one timeout, 2:04 remaining. First down wins the game. East looks like they're going to line up in a shotgun here, and they've got Kobe Owens in to run the ball. They're going to keep it in the shortest hands they can.
Packed everything in tight near the line of scrimmage. Owens not only gets a couple yards on the play, but bounces it to the outside. He's got the first down and more. He does get driven out of bounds, it looks like, along the far side of the field, but he does get a first down, and that's important.
So the ball doesn't start until the next snap because he went out of bounds, but regardless, it is a first down.
It really becomes a wash. Although the clock has started once again with 1:47 to play, and East winding down that time.
They ruled, apparently, that his forward progress was stopped.
Before he got out of bounds.
Right.
So it does end up being a great play for East.
And he got 10 yards out of it.
Long count. It'll be Owens once again driving his feet at the line of scrimmage, breaking tackle, spin move, pushing forward, and he gets down to the 32.
That's some good old-fashioned power right there.
You said he wasn't very fast earlier on, Jeff, and you're right about that, but when you're that strong, you don't need to be fast.
No, not at all, and he did a fine job doing what he's supposed to do here, keeping both hands on the ball, wrapping it up, and making sure no one can get it for Cedar Ridge.
24-21 with a minute and 3 seconds to play. Second down and 3 yards to gain.
Reckney goes out of the game. John Graham comes in. Clock running with 50 seconds remaining. Looks like that's just about going to do it here. Cedar Ridge does have one timeout they can use. But
now we've got a flag that comes in.
Yep,
and
it'll
be a delay of game against East Chapel Hill, soaking up every possible moment on the play clock. With 45 seconds to go, it knocks the ball back to the 36.
Well, this is an important win here for East Chapel Hill. If they can hold on to this three-point advantage, they really should have won by more, to be quite honest, Walter, but they still did what they needed to do.
Here's the snap. Stout will take it himself and run up the middle of the field on second down. 39.6 seconds to go. It'll bring up third down as Cedar Ridge calls its final timeout. With 39.6 seconds to go and a three-point difference, so it'll be third down. East will run a play here, Jeff. And then maybe you see one of those situations where they probably would have to snap it again.
Yeah, well, that would be an interesting thing here because it depends on when the play clock would begin, and you don't have digitalized play clocks in most high school stadiums. It's kept on the field, so you'd almost have to do an estimate as to when the play clock would begin, and you don't have a play, really, that can take 14 seconds off the clock. It's a 25-second play clock in high school, just as it is formerly in college football. It's not that way anymore. So
you wonder if East would then maybe go for it on fourth down and try and run around for,
yeah, that's a possibility,
as much time as possible, or if they kick it.
Yeah, it begins on the official's mark.
So it'll be third down.
It's just the way it used to be done in college. But now, of course, college, and it's been that way for about 5 years, they've shifted to a 40-second play clock as the play ends.
Ball on the 35-yard line. Of course, East can nullify all those necessities if they can convert the third down here. Here's the snap. Stahl hands it off to Colby Owens. He breaks a couple of tackles, bounces out to the right side. He's got the first down. East will win this ball game as he steps out of bounds, which does stop the clock. However, by converting that first down, it will wrap things up for East Chapel Hill tonight. They are going to get the win. Unfortunate for Cedar Ridge. They had an opportunity to stop Owens there, Jeff. Just
yep.
He's too strong and too much of a bull. Can't be brought down on the first attempt.
No, he got 12 more yards there. That's going to put him at 55 for the game. And, yeah, Fowler in there with 56 and Obens with 55. It's fitting that those were the two top ball carriers in this game. And he's just going to run one more standard play, and there's the knee, and that'll do it.
So East Chapel Hill is still 25 seconds up on the clock, but they will wind things down with taking that knee right there to make it 24-21, still the score. Give credit to Cedar Ridge. A lot of heart from the Red Wolves as they came back in this game and made it interesting down stretch. If a couple of turnovers go a little bit differently, and maybe they're in this game, maybe they're the ones in the lead, but it's East Chapel Hill that capitalized on their opportunities tonight, and they come away with the victory and a big celebration as they pick up their first win of the season to improve to 1-2 on the year as Cedar Ridge falls to 0-3. We'll take a quick timeout and come back with the postgame show right here on WCHL's Game of the Week, high school football on WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
Tar Heel fans, this is Brian Pop with Landscape Logic. Just a friendly reminder, fall seeding is around the corner. Having a nice lawn is not a product of good luck. It's an absolute science. At Landscape Logic, we are qualified and committed to giving you the direction and care you need to be successful and protect your economic and aesthetic investment. Ask about our aftercare programs, weekly maintenance programs, and references in your neighborhood. Visit us online at landscapelogicnc.com. Landscape Logic is a logical choice for all your landscape needs.
Fitch Lumber and Hardware has been around for a century because they pay attention to their customers. They've got everything you need for your home projects, large and small, and take time to offer you as much or as little advice and helpful tips as you need. The staff is experienced, knowledgeable, and available when you need assistance. Just one of the reasons they've been voted best hardware store in Orange and Chatham counties for 4 years in a row by the Independent Weekly. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro. So stop by or give them a call at 942-3255.
Back at East Chapel Hill High School, where the Wildcats are victorious tonight, picking up the 24-21 win over the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves. We'll have to have an abbreviated postgame show here. So, Jeff, a couple of stats that you noticed from the game tonight and your final thoughts on what you saw.
Well, very balanced rushing for East Chapel Hill, even though they only had 3 points in the second half. They come away with 154 yards on the ground and 221 yards passing in the contest. Good game for Connor Stowe, 12 of 20 for 221 yards, two touchdowns. He threw three interceptions. Chris Fowler, 15 catches for 56 yards. And then it was Colby Owens, 9 receptions for 55 yards. And all 7 East players wound up with rushes in the game. And Jack Hankins, what can you say about him? Another 100-yard rushing game, 3 receptions on the night. Although he didn't catch a ball during the first or second half, he did have a huge one for 77 yards that stood as the game-winning touchdown. And what can you say about Llewellyn, the field goal kicker for East, as Ellis Llewellyn kicks what turns out to be the game-winning points with a 37-yarder early in the third quarter.
And converts all 3 extra points for East Chapel Hill as well. Really a balanced performance all around for the Wildcats, and they pick up the win to move, improve to 1-2 on the season. Again, 0-3 now the record for Cedar Ridge. Unfortunately, we have to wrap things up early here from East Chapel Hill High School, but before we do, I remind you that next week on WCHL, you'll be able to hear Carrboro versus Northwood. Should be a fun battle there between the Jaguars and the Chargers. That game will be in Carrboro. Jeff Hamlin and I will be on chapelboro.com's second stream game of the week for Orange versus Graham. Should be a fun one there as well. Jeff Hamlin, thank you very much, sir. Greatly appreciate it as always.
Great job, Walter.
It was a blast. We want to thank Hartford Zirkle for his help out on the field and along the sidelines this evening as well, feeding us some great information. And we want to thank you for listening. For Jeff and Hartford, a big thanks to Anthony Wellman as well for his efforts to help get us on the air tonight and his work behind the scenes. And also, we want to give a big thanks to Alex Curley for running the board back at the WCHL studios tonight as well. I'm Walter Storholt. Thank you for listening to our high school football game of the week, which, of course, has been presented by Mark Vitale, Nationwide Insurance in Chapel Hill, and in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance. We'll talk to you next week. Until then, have a great night and a great weekend of enjoying some college football and first football season and weekend of the NFL as well. It's a fun week to be a football fan. We'll talk to you next week on the High School Game of the Week on WCHL and Chapelboro.com.